Why do parents and churches struggle with raising godly children? And it is a struggle. Why is it? What's changed? What are we dealing with? Why is it that the typical parent knows they need to do these things, and yet we get home and we don't do it? We're going to talk about that today.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. With us this week, we have the Associate Pastor for Adult and Family Ministries at First Baptist Fort Lauderdale, Terry Scalziti, also husband to Jennifer and father to five-year-old Connor, right?
Yes.
Lots of energy in the house.
Yes, there is.
Yes, Terry's married way over his head.
Yes,
which is awesome. Yeah, well, it's a smart man that does that. You used a word a minute ago in here I've never heard of, stock family syndrome. Tell me what that means.
Yes. When you know, we all walk into those department stores, and Bob, I know you, like me, we walk through and we see those pictures of those muscular guys holding the beautiful girl and their beautiful family with the dog on the beach.
I immediately think of me when I see that.
That's what I was saying. We both think of ourselves. But in reality, we see those pictures, and probably the question we have is, are those families really? I mean, are they real? But those are the pictures that we all see. And the reality is, I think in today in our lives, a lot of the families that live today, they compare themselves to what I like to call the stock family syndrome. Churches today, when we speak to families, we typically in our minds think of mom, dad, and two kids. When we take a look in the 1960s, mom, dad, two kids was the average. It was more than the average of the family unit. And today, that is no longer the case. We have families that are stepbrothers, stepsisters, stepparents, half-brothers, half-sisters, single moms, single dads. The family has changed over the years. And so no longer can we look at this stock photo and then say every family looks like it. And so it's a challenge today living as a mom or a dad, listening to pastors, listening to radio shows, listening to things talk about parenting techniques, when the reality is when you compare yourself to what you're hearing, a lot of times you don't feel like you can connect or relate because my situation is so unique and I don't relate to it. That's the danger of the stock family syndrome.
I think also along with that, when I realize my family can't relate, I subconsciously give myself an out, an excuse. I can't do that.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, that's nice, but I can't do that. And rather than how can I do that?
Yeah.
What part of that can I do? You know, and especially for the shared custody family, I can't do that at the other house. I can do that at this house. Mm-hmm. But I have to expect, we're talking about discipling your child. We're talking about helping your child grow in Christ. We're talking about how do I even read the Bible with my child? And sometimes I think we expect our children to like it. You know, believe it or not, my children didn't race to the breakfast table, get the Bible for me and say, we're waiting. Mm-hmm. It never happened. So if it's a shared custody, do it when it's there. And you're not really doing it as much for the kids as you're doing it as an honoring of God. And you're not going to grow those seeds, but you got to plant those seeds. He will grow those seeds. But boy, you got to plant them to make it happen. I like your stock family syndrome. Can I use that? I mean, is that yours totally?
Absolutely,
It just became mine. I'm using it from now on. Yes.
You know, you also look at that too, and I feel for, and Bob, you and I have talked about it several times. A lot of times in a single parent situation or a single home situation, when you go and you hear advice on parenting, you hear advice on, here are some different things that you can do practically throughout the day. And when a single mom is just barely making it day in and day out to survive financially at work, taking care of their kids, you know, they look at these pictures that I've created sometimes or our pastors create sometimes when we only talk to a certain segment of family. And they right away, like you said, they disconnect or they come up with all the excuses because they can't relate. And the reality of it is that every family is a unique family. Whether you're a single mom or anything, you are a unique family. And there are still tips and tools and practices that you can implement in your family's life to teach your children how to have an everyday faith. It's finding that rhythm within your home that'll really, really give you an opportunity.
And another aspect is at church, even children's ministry, you're talking to kids that are in these situations. So everything is not, what did your mommy and daddy say? Who knows what their life is like at home? Who do you live with? You know, is your stepmommy your primary caregiver now? Or is it, you know, your stepdad or half brothers and half sisters? And then when you bring up Bible situations, can you connect the dots with them? You know what? Joseph had a bunch of half brothers, and bring out those little stories to say, you know what? Bible characters have the same family situations that you do.
Joseph had Joseph's father had two wives and children by two concubines of those two wives. I mean, these are regular dysfunctional families. And I think one of the statements we need to make is we're all dysfunctional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is no functional family. We just come in smiling into church. And I do know that alienates some single moms. When it comes to this, when it comes to discipling my child, I think the very first step, stock family, blending family, single parent family, never married family, whatever it is, when it comes to this, we've got to decide this is a priority. And that's the key, because we will get them to soccer. And the single parent mom will do everything in her power to get them to whatever she deems as her priority. And this is the deal breaker. This is the life changer. It's interesting. I had to be at a brunch today, and at the brunch today, we were giving an award to a lady, and she told a story that I never heard before. And she's a huge volunteer here. And here constantly, and she said, well, let me tell you, 15 years ago, I was at a public school where you were speaking, and you talked about all these different things, and you talked about philosophy of life. Everybody needs to have a philosophy of life. And that's as far as you really, really went. I felt you wanted to go further, but you didn't go forward. And you then were at a church in my neighborhood. And so I went to hear you again at the church, and you gave the same talk, and you plugged in faith in Christ, philosophy of life, faith in Christ, and you plugged in active in church. And she said, and I'm an accountant. I just started checking off churches. I went to every conceivable church you could imagine until I found a place that taught me how to do it. And then I came and heard again about teaching the Bible to your kids at another conference, and I sat down and started teaching the Bible, knowing nothing about the Bible. I'm a brand new Christian. She went to Eddie Bevel's church, Park Ridge, and she said, I started teaching the Bible at the breakfast table, which was hard for me. I got to get to work, and I did it anyway. And my 19-year-old is an amazing kid today, and it's why I wanted to come back here for that one little thing. That's why I wanted to be a volunteer, is what she was saying. But I said, Tina, stop. Do you hear what you just said? You took the advice, and you took it. You took it. You went with it. Okay, get in church. Okay, but I got to teach him. And she did it. And she does have a great kid. He's a volunteer here today, mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. So we've got to see that if we send them out with head knowledge and nothing in their heart, loving Jesus with all their heart, we've doomed them. You said that yesterday. We've doomed them when they hit that college campus. They've got to know why they can't. You know, the phrase "just say no" won't get it done. They got to know why they're saying no. Mm-hmm. They got to know why they got to stay out of bed and why they got to stop not snort things up their nose when they get to the college campus. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned choices, and really, parenting is that training process. We're teaching our children how to own their choices, to make wise choices mm-hmm. as they kind of move along. And what better way than for we as parents to be able to show our children that we have priorities, and we're going to make a choice specifically, a sacrifice in one area, but a choice to be able to benefit our lives. And so as you mentioned that just illustration, we're going to make a choice to get up earlier, and we're going to make a choice to sit at the breakfast table, even if it's for 5 or 10 minutes to have a spiritual conversation instead of waiting 5 minutes and sleeping an extra 5 minutes in the morning. There are all different types of choices. I remember a family that came in counseling one time, and they said their communication skills between themselves, husband and wife, and their communication skills with their family, with their kids, was suffering. Their kids were making wrong choices. They didn't know how to communicate with them. And they went on and on for about 15 minutes. And I just sat back and listened. And I asked one question when that got done. It kind of stunned them. I said, how many times do you guys have dinner around the table together? And I remember the looks on their faces, and they just kind of just looked through their schedule. And the reality was, is every single day they did not have dinner as a family. Mm. Now, the reality is every family has a different schedule or different routine and a different rhythm. But conversations and communication is vitally important. And this family was choosing to go to soccer or to go to football or to go to all of these different things, which are not bad things, but at the sacrifice of communication. And so their rhythm was out of joint. And we spent the next 20 minutes unpacking. Let's look at your daily calendar and let's figure out how we can build in communication, not only between you as husband and wives, between you and your children. And because you're teaching your children right now what's most important in your life.
The thing is, it doesn't happen automatically. Mm. You kind of have to do something about it. You know, you just going to church and routine, you have to build it into the routine, because it's not going to come up by itself.
Oh yeah, we get caught on that dry cleaner conveyor belt called culture, and everybody else mm-hmm. is signing them up, and everybody else is doing this, and so we need to do this, and all of a sudden we wake up one day. I mean, what will you be glad you did later on, rather than, and then decide? You know, it's interesting what you said about that. There's a popular Friday night television show on called Blue Bloods. The number one reason my wife likes it is Tom Selleck, but the number one reason other people like it is because of that dinner they have, the Sunday dinner where everybody's required to be there. Even the New York Commissioner of Police is there at his own dinner. there is a need for this time together, and at this time together, to take advantage of this time together, whether it's breakfast or dinner. I could guarantee breakfast. I just knew if we got up early, we're going to have breakfast together. Dinner's got a little weird, and you're right. Most of the time, we never sat in front of the television for dinner. Sitting at a table together, hearing, downloading, having group therapy, and just processing. And even it was Karen Maines, which both of you are too young to even remember Karen Maines. You don't even know who David and Karen Maines are, do you?
No, sorry about that.
Really? But they were big in the radio world, and you don't even know them. This is painful. This is how old I am.
You're seasoned.
Yes, I am seasoned. Seriously seasoned. I'm blackened from too much seasoning, yes. But she had this thing called the God Hunt that she did at the dinner table every night. Where did you see Jesus? And I read that in her book, and I thought, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard. Where did you see Jesus today? And it just took forever to my kids to get it, but we made it competitive. We made it very competitive. Oh, my goodness. That wins. That wins. That's the where, you know, then Tori would have to jack it up where she saw Jesus. But it makes you look back at how you saw the hand of God rather than right place, right time. Boy, that was a coincidence. Boy, I was lucky with that. No, God is doing something in your life. This is so important. It will impact the lives of your children. Case in point, at their morning devotions, one of the things that happened with Rosemary's family is they started talking during devotions about things like dating. They were reading the Bible and things like dating. And then when Rosemary's mom would pray with each of the kids when they went to bed that night, she would start praying for their spouses to be. And she would give them a vision as they were children for their spouses to be, so that I arrive on the college campus. I was there a year ahead of Rosemary. I'm a sophomore. She's a freshman. She's gorgeous. And I'm awesome. And so I ask her out on a date, and she turns me down, which shocked me. I mean, who wouldn't want some of this? And she was totally shocked. I asked her every week from mid-September to heading towards the December break for a date, and every week she turned me down. And I finally said, okay, talk to me. What's up here? And she said, why would I go out with you? It would be painful for you or painful for me if it clicked, because there's no hope here. You're not a Christian. And I'd never been in the door of a church in my life prior to that. I mean, I went to church because they had discipled her to know, why would you go out with a non-Christian? Don't go out with a non-Christian.
A non-negotiable.
Oh, yeah, to her. And it brought me to Christ and changed my life, and God used her to change my life. We send our children out with no philosophy of life. It's not the church's job. That's a philosophy of church. And all of a sudden, they don't have anything that's personal that's theirs. And so we need to send our children out prepared, and that means it's the job of the parents.
Yeah, if we as parents, when we think about our dads and our moms, whether we like it or not, we're going to be a lot like them. And so I kind of always say this, if you want to be like your parents, do nothing. And you'll end up a lot like your parents. But if you look at your parents and say, gosh, I really didn't like the communication that we had in our home, then the reality is if you want to change and you want to have a different style of communication with your kids and with your family, and you really want to start impressing those spiritual things on your children, you have to work hard. You have to make a change. You have to make a choice, because you're training your children to understand that life sometimes is difficult, that we have to make sacrifices. I think of Connor one time when we were in Toys R Us, and Connor really, really wanted this toy. I can't even remember what it was, but it was like $5 for this toy. And we're walking through, and he has this in his hands, and we walk down the aisle, and he sees something else that was $25. And of course, my heart sank, but he really wanted this. And we told him we were going to get him a prize. I didn't tell him how much. And so he held both in his hands, and he said he wanted both. And I looked at him. I said, Connor, we told you you're going to receive one toy. You get to choose which one you want. Now, my heart said, please choose the $5 toy. And I was blessed because he did. That's the great thing about having a five-year-old. But the bottom line is, we're teaching our children how to make choices when we as adults and parents make sacrifices and make wise choices for the health of our families.
Oh, my goodness, that's good. You're saying we have to be intentional. You're saying there has to be a purpose. What is our purpose? It's not just to transport them around. It's not just to get them to a lot of activities. We do have to choose to parent on purpose. And the core of everything they're ever going to do is their faith base. If their faith is in being popular, if their faith is in win at all cost, if their faith is whatever, if their faith is just do whatever you can to get an A, rather than their faith in Jesus Christ, who knows the plans he has for them. That was, for me, the whole story with Joseph. How could I do such a thing and sin against God? He says to Potiphar's wife, I know whose I am. I'm not going to do this. So we have to choose that we will parent on purpose, that we will teach our children. We will be the teachers, the disciples of our children.
You've been listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes and Pastor Terry Scalziti from First Baptist Church of Fort Lauderdale. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and if you want to find out more about Shared In-House Family Ministries and all that the ministry does with children through the children's homes, you can find out online at shfm.org. A lot of different aspects as well, a counseling center, lots of resources, and all the proceeds go to help the kids' homes. And again, that's online at shfm.org. Even if you want to support the children's homes directly, you can send a two-letter text, and that'll help with a $10 one-time donation. Just send the letters SH and send it to 41518. And if you missed any part of today's program, you want to hear it again, share it, even download the program automatically and podcast it on any device you have, you can find the apps and all the information online at parentingonpurpose.org. We hope you join us tomorrow as we continue our conversation on teaching your child to have an everyday faith here on Parenting on Purpose.